Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 12th of November, recording at 9:32 p.m. That's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In the Asian stock markets, mostly a bit easier. And the European markets were mixed. They'd seen some early gains, which they then gave up and then picked up again. Because Wall Street had a reasonably good rally going up until the last hour of trading, when the Dow not only reversed a 100-point gain, but closed down 55, and the Nasdaq took another big hit. That's really been a dramatic deterioration in the Nasdaq. The bank shares had been showing a good gain at one stage, looking at the bank's index. It did close fractionally higher, I believe. I'm just going to put that up to the S&P 500 banks index just to check that. It was interesting because I noticed that it had been up. I noticed up on both Thursday and Friday. Yes, it did close a fraction higher, but near the lower side of the day. But nevertheless, we have seen statistically at any rate three up days on the S&P banks index, and we haven't seen that since August. But sadly, we're lacking the kind of dynamics that would indicate that we had seen a sustainable low. Now, the big story on the day, it was a day when the U.S. Markets were much quieter, and actually the bond market was closed due to Remembrance Day, but the U.S. dollar index really rebounded sharply here. We had a massive wave of short covering coming in today, pushed the index back up to 76.091, and that's up 690 ticks, and currently 685, still trading after hours. And that brought sterling down a thumping 3.5 to 205.48, and the euro's down to 145.33. And some of the commodity currencies that had the really big run-up, such as the Australian dollar, that came back down quite sharply. So the greenback was up against just about everything except the Japanese yen, and the dollar's down to 109.55. So on a day for a big rally in the US dollar, it's down against the yen. More on that in a moment. European bonds down a little bit, just 15 ticks out of 100 for a point. And the metals, precious metals were hit very hard in here today. They were weak on Friday, particularly platinum, but they really got clobbered in here today. Gold down 37. As I speak, that's taken it back to 794.70 on the spot price. And platinum, as a bigger pardon, yes, no, take platinum, that's 1390, down 35. And silver in after hours trading is, now they're showing after hours trading down over $1.10 at 14.64. That's on the March contract. So pretty weak in here. Palladium held up best, only down 4. Industrial metals, well, copper was weak. I think they were all softer, and although very marginally on nickel, which had such a good rally on Friday. But yes, they're all down, as are the soft commodities. Okay, what's going on here? Well, the first point is that we have had a fair amount of technical deterioration in these Western stock market indices here, and some of it's been quite rapid, really, in the last week or so. The Nasdaq getting a bit of a meltdown, and because that had been outperforming for really quite a long time, and this is related, according to the news bulletins at any rate, to concern over the U.S. economy. Well, I think it's just more of a since the U.S. economy has been weak for a long time, I think it's more of an unwinding of leveraged positions. So basically, anything that had been a momentum play, it just does look as if hedge funds and a lot of other big players are just winding down some positions very rapidly in here, and we're getting another flight to cash. Now, we've seen pretty much a two-tier stock market for a number of months. You remember, if we just look back on the year, that the banks, the Western banks, and the Japanese banks were all peaking around February, possibly even earlier, I think even earlier with the Japanese banks. And they had been ranging lower and then occasionally bungee jumping on the downside ever since. And in contrast, the banks that were not wrapped up in the subprime problems were really doing very well, particularly some of the Asian banks. And stock markets, following that climactic selling in August, staged, and the interest rate cut, staged a pretty good rebound, as you know. But the European markets, most of the European markets, didn't get back up into new high ground for the year. And those that did couldn't hold it. I think there are just maybe two or three of them among the developed country markets. Spain, interestingly, which had been one of the weakest ones earlier on, but that did get back up into a new high where it's been ranging. But the overall tendency is for these European markets to be weakening once again and eroding support, and the S&P, while all the U.S. indices have eroded support that was established following those August lows, and some of these European indices, are establishing lower highs and lower lows, which really is the basic definition of a downtrend, and that is certainly a concern. We've seen that with Sweden, which may actually be through or very close to the August lows. We've seen that with Ireland, which did go through the August lows. Wherever there's a big weighting of banks, these European markets have been very, very weak. And Switzerland is one of the bigger ones in that category. So again, I've often emphasized, says this Owen, that we regard these banks as a lead indicator, and if banks are doing badly, that's not going to be good for the rest of the market generally, or the rest of the economy, and vice versa. And banks were on pretty much of a reasonable roll. They weren't the top performing sector by any means, except quite early on in the rally that we've seen over the last 5 years, a good advance that we've seen over the last 5 years. But they were still in ranging overall upward trends. Well, that ended from that February period this year onwards. And the sector's still under pressure, and you know why. You know all the stories that are flying around. My feeling is that when you look at a number of the individual bank shares, that such a huge amount of bad news has already been priced in here, that even allowing for some of the more draconian forecasts, a whole lot of this has been discounted. But there's still so much uncertainty around that these markets continue to underperform, and that is weighing on the broader indices. Well, what about Asia? Well, Asia had run up, and the resources markets, such as Brazil, well, these had run up so much that they became overextended, As you know, in terms of their 200-day moving averages, best seen on the weekly charts. And so, while we had this decoupling, they have lost upside momentum and appear to be in consolidations against the other underperforming markets, which are really Japan right through to the West. And then just to round it out, some of the markets that had underperformed a long time ago, following burst bubbles, I think in 2006, I'm talking about the Middle Eastern markets, the Middle Eastern oil producers, are doing quite well now. So we're getting more uncoupling than I've probably seen at any time in my financial career. I think undoubtedly more uncoupling, whereas previously the Wall Street leash effect was so powerful that it didn't have to be in the pole position, but if Wall Street was ranging sideways to higher, that gave many other, most other markets, and particularly the fashionable ones, an opportunity to run on the upside, and vice versa. So when Wall Street was weak, that tended to drag down the other markets, and because many of them were higher beta than the US market, thinner markets, they would come down much, much faster. Well, we haven't seen that really this year. This is the year when we have seen the most dramatic uncoupling. I mentioned it at first in terms of the banks, the Western and Japanese banks, where I assume that most of the subprime problems occur. I have to be careful now when I mention the Western banks. Canadian banks are doing, certainly doing quite well. They wouldn't want to be put under that general label of weak financials. But the continental European banks, the UK banks, USA banks, the Japanese banks, very weak. Well, in other parts of the world, they really remain quite firm, and ditto their overall indices. Well, where does this leave us? Well, we certainly have downward pressure, unwinding of leveraged positions that can spill over into contagion just about anywhere where performance has occurred. But on the other hand, people have to put their money somewhere. They're not going to stay in cash for very long. They're not paid to do that. And so the choice is, do you dare go in and bargain hunt in the high yield but highly suspect profits background and still unresolved debt problems of the banking sector? Well, with a pistol at my head, I would rather be buying banks than selling them in here at this level, as I mentioned on Friday in my comment of the day written piece. But I find it resistible at this time, and I remain in the areas that I've been in all along, staying with these resources plays, staying with the emerging Asian plays. But even before this last week of selling squall, I have been expecting some drawdown in here just because these markets had become overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. Mind you, not all of them had come down. I mean, the golds had given up nothing until a bit on Friday and more today. And the things like Rio had, of course, were doing exceptionally well, the Maryland World Mining Trust. But overall, it still looks like a nervous, risky period in here. And I think until we see a firmer tone here from the Western banks that have been really at the epicenter of this quake, we have to expect markets to be on the def remain on the defensive. What's it all add up to? Well, the Western banks have obviously been in a bear market, the ones that have been involved with the subprime, and that has produced big declines in the indices that are heavily weighted in those sectors. Other parts of the global equity area have been relatively immune to the selling pressures. The resources have remained strong. The Asian themes have remained strong, but I would not really expect much from them on the upside until we see nerves steady in here. And I'm not, well, I think I know what the catalyst would be for that, and that would be some upward dynamics by the banks. But I'm not sure what the trigger is going to be for that catalyst, or when it's going to occur. Meanwhile, as far as the US dollar is concerned, it was and the yen, these have been the carry currencies of choice. So hedge funds, for instance, with leveraged positions, where have they borrowed? Well, it's all been dollars and the yen recently. So if you get a scramble to liquidate positions, and these can be quite dramatic, but they don't usually last very long, and that will firm those currencies. That's what we're seeing right now, with a dollar yen rally and an even stronger yen rally, because there have been carry trades going on in those currencies for, well, in the yen, certainly for longer than in the US dollar. It's a dynamic. It's on the charts. It's not over. So I would not be surprised to see a little bit more short covering in the dollar. I doubt that it has ended the overall downward trend, but the way I would best, but that's opinion, the way I would describe it on the basis of the chart action is that for the US dollar index, we've seen a low of at least near-term significance. And I would be surprised if it turned out to be anything more than of near-term significance, but it is a turn in here today. And oil prices also coming back down, so that will produce a little bit more good news. If we had a really serious bear market threat underway in the markets that are not totally dominated by the weighting of their financial sectors or banking sectors, if we had a really serious bear market risk, I think we would be seeing rapidly rising long-dated bond yields, and we're not. Those long-dated bond yields are still coming down as part of the flight to so-called quality. And that is certainly going to continue while people are more worried about the US economic slowdown and the risk of recession there and possible contagion to certainly to the UK and continental Europe. While people are more concerned about that than the oil inflation and the food price inflation, then bond yields are not going to rise. And so that, in a glimmer of good news here on what's been a bearish day all around, glimmer of good news is that those bond yields will offer some cushion to downside risk in stock markets. And that's pretty much it for now, so I'll just say all the best to all of you.